The assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj, which shows us that even in the spiritual world, the devotees of Krishna are just engaged in hearing about his glories. That's what you do in the spiritual world, and that's what you do if you want to create the spiritual world in the material world. You talk about Krishna in the assembly of soft-hearted devotees who wish to hear about Krishna and in this way make Jamashtami a reality in their own life. It's so important for me to bring this subject to your attention, that spiritual life is something totally subjective. That means it concerns our own heart, our own self. I liked one of my godbrother's statement. He said, Krishna consciousness is not about others, what they do and what they do not do. Krishna consciousness is entirely and solely and always about our own selves and what is going on in our consciousness and what is going on in our own spiritual lives. This is called a subjective reality, which refers to the subject, that the person, the individuum. It is not an objective thing, what happens in the world outside of us. Krishna consciousness is really meant to be something which is concerning the individual process and progress, I wanted to say. Just a few days ago, I was sitting in the forest where we stay in Sakro, and I was really deeply thinking about this, how Krishna consciousness is something which I should now practice. I'm preaching about Krishna consciousness, but what is my own Krishna consciousness? I'm chanting and I'm explaining about chanting, but what is about my own chanting? And I remember how something changed. I sat there in the forest and I said, okay, what does this mean? It means now I should really be with the holy name and not be disconnected from the holy name. And Krishna gave me a sign. When I chanted like this, I noticed what happened in the world around me. The world around the chanter begins to change, not by his own strengths, but by Krishna's strengths. I remembered how Burijan Prabhu had told me that he once was in Vrindavan, and it was before the Govardhan retreat, where he was preaching, would be preaching a lot, and he thought, but what is about my own consciousness? I better start chanting now. And he was sitting near Govardhan and chanted. All of a sudden, he heard a terrible noise above him. And he looked, and there was some green parrot attacking a hole in the tree. I wanted to chant it. He said, psht, 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 let me chant now. You know how the parrots of Vrindavan are. They are very loud once they have a subject matter. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. And he really tried to chant, and the parrots became louder even. And then finally, when he had chanted his rounds, he left that space, that place, and the parrots left it. And at that moment, he saw something which convinced him how good it is to chant attentively. Out of the hole in the tree, which the parrots had attacked and made so much noise about, a black cobra dropped, bang, on the place where he was sitting. There are these cobras in Braj. There are certain different types of cobras, but these are the dangerous, the super dangerous. They are in the trees, the holes of the trees, and they drop and they go into your flesh, and then you are done in 5 minutes usually. They are really poisonous. So he could understand that the parrots had protected him against the cobra. And he understood they had somehow been sent by Krishna to keep that cobra inside the hole. And he understood that because he had chanted properly, or tried to chant properly, Krishna had saved him. That he could understand. You know, like you have a spiritual realization and maybe it doesn't make sense to another person, but for him, subjectively, Krishna had protected him that morning. I always feel that the moment a devotee wakes up to the fact that he or she has to be subjective in his or her spiritual life, that is, that one understands it's all about, I have to cleanse my heart and bring Krishna inside. That very moment where you become subjective, if you want, the objective reality around you changes. That means Krishna responds by creating favorable circumstances for your own little project to make spiritual advancements. So I hope to convince you today that by hearing about Krishna and relating to Krishna in a devotional way, that your whole life can change. I hope to give you some inspirations in this way and some practical experience also, so that Jamashtami can be celebrated by you on the third level. I will talk about three levels of celebrating Jamashtami. I briefly hinted at them yesterday, and then I will try to kidnap you and bring you away from here to at another discussion which took place in the assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj about Jamashtami. So please be with me. But I want to really, before starting, affectionately greet all of you. Yesterday, not all of you were present. This is a wonderful occasion to sit together in the assembly of devotees with a devotional purpose. There will be many, many more devotees arriving throughout the day, and especially in the evening, it will be so full that you won't will be difficult to move, because so many of the devotees are still coming for the actual time of Krishna's appearance. That is, we will have the 12 o'clock in the night he comes. Sorry. Oh, hi Krishna, you really don't need to do this for me. Really nice. Thank you. This is a whole field of flowers which went into this. Thank you so much. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari.
Radhamahava Kunya Viha Vijaya Radhamahava Kunya Viha Gopi dana vallava iri varadadi vallava iri varadadi Gopi dana vallava Giri Varadaji Yasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Siddhadhe Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Siddhadhe Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Siddhadhe Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vasudevaya.
Reading from the 10th canto, 5th chapter, verse 1 to 2. Shishuka uvacha nandastvat maja utpane jatalado mahamana Ahuya vipranveda gyan Snata shuchi alankrita Nandastvat maja utpane Yatalado mahamana Ahuya vipranveda gyan Snātad suci alankrita Nandastvat maja utpane Jatalado mahamana Ahuya vipranvedakyan Snata suci alankrita Nandastvat maja utpane Suchi alankrita Nandastvat maja utpane Yata lado mahamana Ahuya vipranveda gyan Nandastvat maja utpane Nandastvat maja utpane Yata lado mahamana Ahuya vipranveda gyan Snata suci alankrita Matices, please. Nandastvat maja utpane Yata lado mahamana Ahuya vipranveda gyan Nada suci alankrita Nandastvat maja utpane Yata lado mahamana Ahuya vipranveda gyan Shishuka uvacha Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Nanda, Maharaj Nanda, to indeed Atmaje, his son, Utpane, having been born, Jata, overwhelmed, Aladaha, in great jubilation Mahamanaha who was great minded Ahuya invited Vipran the Brahmanas Vedagyan who were fully conversant in Vedic knowledge
Nataha. Taking a full bath. Suchi. Purifying himself. Alankritaha. Being dressed very nicely with ornaments and fresh garments. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, Nanda Maharaj, I should first give you an introduction to this verse. This is the celebration of Nanda Maharaj, Nandotsava, when he hears that Krishna has appeared as his son. Nanda Maharaj was naturally very magnanimous, and when Lord Shri Krishna appeared as his son, he was overwhelmed by jubilation. Therefore, after bathing and purifying himself and dressing himself properly, he invited brahmanas who knew how to recite Vedic mantras. After having these qualified brahmanas recite auspicious Vedic hymns, he arranged to have the Vedic birth ceremony celebrated for his newborn child according to the rules and regulations, and he also arranged for worship of the demigods and forefathers. Srila Vishwanath, this is now the purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has discussed the significance of the words Nanda's tomb. The word too, he says, is not used to fulfill the sentence, because without too, the sentence is complete. Therefore, the word too is used for a different purpose. Although Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki, Devaki and Vasudev did not enjoy the Jata Karma, the festival of the birth ceremony. Instead, this ceremony was enjoyed by Nanda Maharaj, as stated here. Nandas tvat maja utpane jata klado mahamanaha. When Nanda Maharaj met Vasudev, Vasudev could not disclose, "Your son Krishna is actually my son. You are his father in a different way spiritually." No, because of fear of Kamsa, Vasudev could not observe the festival for Krishna's birth. Nanda Maharaj, however, took full advantage of this opportunity. So the people of Mathura always say, Krishna is born to Nanda, to Vasudev. He is a person from our town, from Mathura, whereas the people of the village of Vrindavan say, no, he is from us. And now we will hear Prabhupada reasoning for this version of the bridge Vasis. Let me see, but this machine just jumped forward. Here it is. The Jata Karma ceremony can take place when the umbilical cord, Nabelschnur, connecting the child and the placenta, Mutterkuchen, is cut. However, since Krishna was brought by Vasudev to the house of Nanda Maharaj, where was the chance for this to happen? You know, if Krishna was actually the son of Devaki, that is what it is said here, he would have, without cutting his umbilical cord, how could he have been taken? How could the Jata Karma ceremony, the thing where you cut that cord, be done by Nanda Maharaj? However, since Krishna was brought by Vasudev to the house of Nanda Maharaj, where was the chance for this to happen? In this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur desires to prove with evidence from many shastras that Krishna actually took birth as the son of Yashoda before the birth of Yogamaya, who is described as the Lord's younger sister. Even though there may be doubts about the cutting of the umbilical cord, and even though it is possible that this was not done when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, such events are regarded as factual. Krishna appeared as Varahadev from the nostril of Brahma, and therefore Brahma is described as the father of Varahadev. So Krishna can appear without the natural birth process. And just like in one incarnation, Krishna appeared from a nostril of Brahma, the creator. Have you seen babies coming out of the nostrils of the mothers? There's only God can do such things. Krishna can appear in even without the need of an umbilical cord being cut. Huh? That is the point here. Yeah. Also significant are the words Karayam Asha Vidivat, being overwhelmed with jubilation over the birth of his son. Nanda Maharaj did not see whether the cord was cut or not. Thus he performed the ceremony very gorgeously. According to the opinion of authorities, Krishna was actually born as the son of Yashoda. In any case, without regard for material understandings, we accept that Nanda Maharaj's celebration for the ceremony of Krishna's birth was proper. This ceremony is therefore well known everywhere as Nandotsava.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyane Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
So it is a very great honor for me, pleasure for me to see all of you who are good Vaishnavas, who have come from near and from far in order to observe the birthday celebrations of Lord Krishna. I hope that you all will be satisfied spiritually and encouraged and inspired, so that your life can be more enlivened and more joyful, being blessed by the presence of Lord Krishna in the heart. Yesterday, I briefly mentioned something which I want to repeat this morning for emphasis, is that there are at least three ways in which we can celebrate this event of Krishna taking birth. The first is that we more or less do it like it's done in the Indian embassy. They are very happy that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in the sacred land of Bharat Varsha. They feel because of this so many people take interest in India, which is good for tourism. And the treasuries of the state can be filled. So that is more like a historic event. Oh yes, 5,000 years he appeared. Another event, another consideration is that just like the sun always appears anew in different countries and in different lands, Krishna's appearance is not limited to one time, to a historic event, but it always takes place somewhere. Srila Prabhupada made this point after presenting a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which talks about Krishna's constant appearance. He said, there's always somewhere 8 o'clock, either in Melbourne or Hong Kong or Hamburg or London and so on. It is constantly the sun is in that position. So Krishna is constantly again and again in that position of taking birth. This ability of the Lord to have eternal pastimes which don't have a beginning and an end, but which go on constantly, something which bewilders the mind of materialists but inspires the heart of devotees. Devotees understand that the Lord can always appear. He is not bound to a certain date of appearance, like an ordinary person who has only taken birth once. And this brings the devotee to the understanding that he can also appear in my own heart, my materialistic heart. And this fills the devotees with joy and with happiness. It is this third level of appreciating Janmashtami which I would like to especially emphasize on this Janmashtami lecture 2012, because as I mentioned yesterday, when one becomes thoughtful, one always takes inventory of his spiritual life. Where am I now after 10 years of practicing Krishna consciousness, or 15 years or 20 years, or where am I really in my consciousness? How far is my consciousness illumined by Krishna, by the Son of Krishna? How much is my heart really full with the thoughts of Krishna? These thoughts should be thought not only every Janmashtami, they should be thought, in fact, every Ekadasi, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Every Ekadasi that comes every 14 days, every 2 weeks. Minimum, a devotee should sit down and ask himself, where am I now? Where is my progress now? And how can I continue on my journey? I always feel the moment you stop thinking about your own life as a journey, as something, as work in progress, that moment you come to a type of standstill which will bring you spiritually to a half-dead condition. Now, knowing my audience very well, like this, we woke up maybe after a difficult sleep because we were in new beds and had snoring neighbors next to us.
I would ask Sharanga Thakur to open a little this window. We have actually two windows open. How are you doing? Is it you're with us? Yeah. Yes, because we need sufficient oxygen. My dear devotees, I'm speaking about this because I have seen in my life, as long as you think about your spiritual ideals, you are safe. As long as you think where you want to go and pray for strength to go there, you are safe. But the moment where in this troublesome material existence you forget to really concentrate yourself on an aim, relationships become difficult. The moment you forget your goal, your spiritual practice will become compromised in many ways. The moment you forget where you wish to go, that moment your life becomes filled with so many things which the material world just throws into the open windows of your heart. Your heart becomes full with so many unwanted and troublesome items. But as long as you thinking of your spiritual goal, you are safe. And you know, there is a saying which one god brother once told me: obstacle is what happens when you lose the goal. You know, only then something, a difficulty, becomes an obstacle. As long as you are fixed on your goal and have faith that by Krishna's mercy you can reach that, you may. There are no insurmountable obstacles. The things which happen are just maybe lessons and so on. There's a verse in the 11th canto where Krishna explains this to Uddhava. It starts with Yata Shraddho. As long as the devotee has faith that by hearing his transcendental pastimes he will progress, there is no difficulty. Even the verse continues to say, if a devotee happens to be, you know, he knows that material life is not what he wants, but he can't help. He is drawn by his material attachments to act against his understandings and still tries to enjoy a little bit. If he just has that shraddha, that faith, that by hearing about Krishna, then this will help me to reach him. Eventually he will go there. But as soon as you forget your goal in spiritual life, as soon as you forget why did I, you know, become a devotee of Krishna and become overwhelmed with the present circumstances of your life and just not remember the goal, the darkness in the heart becomes greater, no? Ignorance or avidya increases, and then your false egos and attachments and all these shadows which are sometimes scary. So how do you reach the goal? How do you receive Krishna in your life? Yesterday I wanted to say this, and I'm repeating it so that it's easier to remember. It's very, very easy. You have to receive Krishna by what is called the Shrutekshita path. That's the path of hearing, and you receive Krishna by giving him oral reception. There is a song in Brij Bhasi. It goes like this: Oh, Chokidar of my eyes. Chokidar means. Chokidar is a guard, and the guard of the eye is what?
the eyelid. Oh, Chokida of my eyes. That means eyelid. Why did you not close? Why did you not perform your function when Krishna came by? You were not on guard. You were not carefully. You were open. My eyes were unguarded, and Krishna came and told me, and now I'm lost. The song in Vrijpasi, they sing so nicely these things, you know. Is not your job to keep thieves away? That's why I have hired you, O Chokidar of my eye. You must act in my interest. Instead, you have allowed the thief to enter my eye, and now my heart is stolen. O Chokidar of my eye. Not good. This is an indirect way of praising. It's so good when you are allowing Krishna to thief, to steal your heart and make it Krishna conscious. So, in the same way, our ears should be open. They should receive Krishna through proper oral reception, which is mainly done by listening to the holy name and by listening to the subjects which are so nicely discussed by Shukadev Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today I would like to talk practically and not theoretically. There is a very nice katha about Krishna's appearance to be found in Gopal Champu, and I would just like to make you a little bit familiar with the setting of Gopal Champu. It's one of the major champus, that means poetic glorifications of Lord Krishna, and it is very interestingly taking place in the assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj. It's a literary device which is taken. You first, when you want to enter Krishna Katha, you are describing actually the surroundings in which Krishna comes. Because I've learned this. I'm a little shy now. But you must first have the setting clear, so that the main dramatic actor can act, and then the story will unfold. I will give you an example. A river flowing very nicely. There's a tree on the bank of the river, and under it a frustrated criminal sitting. As he looks in the water of the river, a boat comes by. Immediately you have a story. Now you can continue on your own. I just wanted to show, if you want if you want something to appear, you need a setting. If you want to appear, have Krishna appear in your heart, you absolutely need the setting of Vrindavan, the spiritual world in which Krishna and Krishna Leela eternally takes place. Therefore, no meditation in about Krishna is complete without an elaborate description of Vrindavan Dham. Here is one for you. Vrindavan Dham is a most beautiful place where there is the constant chirping of the birds to be heard. Soft breezes from the Malaya hills carry the fragrance of sandalwood, and into this fragrance the smell of lotus flowers mixes, which is carried all throughout the forest. There are bees who are drunken with ecstasy, who want to capture this fragrance of the breeze, and who constantly make a very nice and heart-inspiring drone. And into this, this inspires the peacocks, and the peacocks come later. This inspires the cuckoos to coo-hoo, coo-hoo, make their sound. Wonderful clouds who have the color of the blackish color assemble over the forest, and seeing them, the peacocks begin to chirp. Meow, meow. They know when there are the Siam Ganas, Siam means blue, and Ganas means the people, the blue people. This refers to the clouds. Then Ganas Siam is very close. Ganas Siam is Krishna, who has also a blackish color. Then in that forest of Vrindavan, the constant sound is the flute of Lord Krishna. So as the Goswamis give us this description, they prepare the scene for us to hear about Krishna. Now, in that beautiful forest of Vrindavan, there is a hill, Nandishwara Hill, and on it there is a wonderful palace. Excuse myself for being so poor in my own Krishna consciousness. But my dear devotees, this is how Rupa Goswami says, you can take ordinary water and pour it over a Shalagram Shila, and then it becomes Charanamrita, which every saint will drink with reverence. So my ordinary words will try to touch Krishna's appearance this morning. And although they are ordinary, and my language is bad, and my mind is bad, and my heart is bad, may these words, when they try to touch this divine subject matter, become enjoyable for you, just like ordinary water becomes supreme water, best water, and enjoyable for the saints when it is touched to a Shalagram Shila or Govardhan Shila. When Yashoda had given birth and looked at her child, she was unable to call anybody. What to speak of moving about, her eyes and her throat were just filled with tears and with ecstatic sounds, and her body was stunned. The boy was so sweet and so beautiful. At the same time, Yashoda, who couldn't move, became restless, because in her heart a desire manifested to care for her boy, and milk started to stream from her breasts. She thought, is this a huge sapphire? Is his face the moon? It is so full of light. And he waves his little hands and feet as if he wants to destroy the darkness of the world. Now it was, imagine a woman giving birth to a child and not being able to take the child and nourish him with her milk, or recall anyone being in a village, there would have been a problem. But where Krishna is, there are no problems. See, Krishna has a certain quality. He appears in the hearts of people who are full of affection for him. As the moon makes lotuses which are situated far away from him on earth blossom, the child makes the mind of people blossom by appearing in their hearts. It's a beautiful comparison. The moon is millions of miles away, but the lotuses receive him and blossom. So although Mother Yashoda was all alone by herself, because Krishna had appeared, he also appeared in the hearts of the other Brijbasis, and they knew Mother Yashoda has given birth, and they came. They came to the house of Yashoda. At that time, they looked at Krishna, and Krishna made his first sound. Do you know what was the first sound of Krishna? Different from an ordinary baby, I think you think. He said, "Om." Om. So everyone was just so the word here in Sanskrit is overwhelmed with bliss, really. Jata chlado. All the women first came, they surrounded Krishna, and they were just looking at him, and everyone wanted to take Krishna on his chest and, you know, and kiss Krishna. And Rohini was there, the mother of Balaram, and she gave an order. Immediately, get an old woman and send her to Nanda Maharaj, who's at this moment, it was morning, milking the cows. So they got an old Brahmani. She was dressed in white. She had white hair and a brilliant face. And while she was on her way to find Nanda Maharaj, she walked through Braj and threw blissful glances in all the houses and said, "Our king has given birth to a son. Will you not come and see him, people?" The women were already there. They know when a child has taken birth. Then she comes to Nanda Maharaj. And she said, she didn't say anything. She just had fruits in her hands, and she gave the fruits to Nanda Maharaj. That meant, in that customary language, here you get some fruits, you old man, you have given birth to a child. You know, so Nanda Maharaj was so in ecstasy. He just immediately, her first reaction is, there were lots of cows, you know, who were being milked. He said, "Give all my cows to this old lady. She has given me the best news. Krishna has appeared. My son has come." Then, as the Bhagavatam says, he took a bath. I have lost it here. I'm also getting ecstatic. Then the poet who is describing this in the assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj just looks at Nanda and beams with bliss and says, "Nanda, your son gives extraordinary auspiciousness to all." And he continues his narration. When the cowherd men heard that, you know, we were all working with the cows, that the son of the king of Nanda had taken his birth, they began to call out like peacocks who call out at the time when the clouds come after a long dryness. "Ah!
they began to just shout out. I don't know how the British Parsis shout, but they were so in ecstasy and started to dance. At that moment, we heard this yesterday in the beautiful song which we sang, drums sounded from the sky. Everyone looked up, and they didn't know from where the sound came. It was all exciting, and they heard from the heavenly planet sounds like Jai, Jai! Jai Shri Krishna! But no one could see the Devatas. They were not making themselves visible at that time. Now Nanda, when he heard my son has taken birth, was just so blissful, he could not move. And in his heart he prayed, Narayan, I have worshipped you so much, help me to get to my son. And it is described by Jiva Goswami that only because Nanda Maharaj had served Narayan faithfully in his temple, Narayan supported him with his own hands. Do you sometimes have dreams where you want to move somewhere and you can't move? Yeah. These are normally nightmares, you know. There's psychological reasons why you dream this, which I will not tell you at this moment to not destroy the atmosphere. But when you are in a situation where you want to move but you can't move, it's difficult. So Nanda Maharaj was in this situation, but it was a situation of extreme bliss, not at all to be compared with that dream situation in this world. And Narayan helped him to move. He just carried him. He supported him with his stance. Nanda Maharaj looked like the moon among stars, so full of light. All these other people were the stars, and he was like a moon, and he moved towards the delivery room and finally arrived. When he arrived, Rohini brought Krishna out. Krishna was covered with a little cloth and placed him into the hands of Nanda Maharaj, who was shaking. At that time, Yashoda, who was inside the delivery room, cried in bliss, "My husband holds the boy." Krishna looked at that time so beautiful. He was like a black sapphire, but he was dressed in a saffron cloth, and he was bathed in the tears of Yashoda Ma. Nanda Maharaj just could not talk. He had not come there by his own strength. That was obvious. He just held Krishna. There are many descriptions given in the Shastras how sweet Krishna looked and how tender Krishna looked. But a special stress is always given to his large eyes, which were open and which looked at his devotees with glances of anugraha, of mercy. He had come. They had prayed for him. Now he was in their arms as a little child. The old people also came and they said, immediately you must perform the birth ceremony. But Nanda Maharaj was still so overwhelmed in bliss, he just couldn't do anything, and so on. So he called some brahmanas, and or somehow, I don't know how he did it, but brahmanas were brought there, and these brahmanas began to
do the ceremony. And I would like to go with you through some steps, because I want you to chant the same mantras which they chanted. Mm-hmm. One Brahmana put a little ghee on his finger. There was a golden ring on the finger. And then he took his little finger and placed it into the mouth of Krishna, who sucked the little ghee of the cow. And then he chanted, Agni Ayushman, in the right ear of Krishna, to give blessings for a long life of Krishna. This is what you say when you want to bless someone for a long life. Agni Ayushman, etc. Then another Brahmana began to touch the limbs of Krishna for protection and chanted the following mantra, the mantra starting with the following sound, Devaspati. And then, again and again, the four directions were invoked so that really only auspiciousness would come. And the mantra is, Om Hridam Anam Pranaya Pranaya. Om Hridam Anam Pranaya Pranaya. You can meditate. Krishna is there. This mantra is chanted. You are now a Brahmana, hopefully. And we need to do it four times. Two times are left. Om Hridam Anam Pranaya Pranaya. Om Hridam Anam Pranaya Pranaya. Okay, all the four directions are safe now. And they did many other things. Now, my dear devotees, listen to a mystery. One Brahmana said, but now we must bring the nurse to cut the umbilical cord. So a nurse was sent for. She had given so many times birth to children in Vrindavan, and she came, the best of nurses. And she looked at the baby and she said three times, amazing, amazing, amazing. Why was she so amazed? She couldn't find the cord. And she said, in all Nevels we see the cords, which are like stalks or stengel, without lotuses. But in this Nevel there is no cord, but only a lotus design. I think you are all great devotees of Krishna. You know that he has a lotus sign in his navel. There's a verse which explains this. I offer respect to you who has a lotus navel, who wears a lotus garland, a garland of lotus, who has lotus eyes and lotus feet. And I would like to chant this verse with you. Nama Pankajanabhaya. Nama Pankajanmaline. Nama Pankajanetraya. Namaste Pankajangraye. I offer respects to you who has a lotus navel, who wears a lotus garland, who has lotus eyes and lotus feet. And then the nurse
took one of the little feet of Krishna and showed it with trembling hands. Look, come people of Braj, look. Look what he has on his feet. There's a conch. Do you see the conch? And everyone went, a conch. Do you see the chakra here? Everyone went, chakra, chakra. A flesh, flesh, flesh. A lotus, lotus, lotus. And look at his hand. And she showed the hands. And there were all these signs. And she said, these signs we can't even find in the Samudraka Shastra. The Samudraka Shastra, in case you know, don't know, describes a beautiful body. I don't know if your body is described there, but you know, broad shoulders, slim tail, the different proportions of the limbs, how long the arms are. You know, this is all discussed in the Samudraka Shastras, and they are symptoms of highly exalted beings. You can see them from their eyes and so on. But the symptoms of Krishna are so exalted that even in the Samudraka Shastra, this is what the nurse said, there are no, it's not described. We don't find this beauty. The composition of his body is amazing. And again she said, amazing, amazing, amazing. This is how Jiva Goswami said. So Nanda was so happy with everything. He wished to give donations, but he had given already his whole cow barn to the first lady. But still, no problem for him. There were cows all over in Braj. And he gave, he said, get me a message, get me messengers. I want messengers to run all over Vrindavan and get the brahmanas. But no one volunteered to leave Krishna. There was no one who wanted to leave and be a messenger. No, we are not messengers. We forget everything. You know. But the brahmanas came anyways. They were full of splendor. And then Nanda Maharaj gave 10,000 cows to one, then 100,000, then 1 million, then 2 million. There's a verse that the desire trees and the Chintamani stones looked like misers in comparison to Nanda Maharaj. Do you know what is a miser? Who doesn't give anything? You know, so the desire trees are fulfilling all desires without limitations. There's never a time when a desire tree says, I can't give any longer, it's too much now. So in the same way, Nanda Maharaj gave so much charity on that day that the desire trees and Chintamani stones looked like misers. There were lots of beautiful Braj ladies around. They were not beautiful, so beautiful before they came to Yashoda, because they all had stopped to wear ornaments because Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were childless, and they felt so much love for the Queen of Braj that they were not decorating themselves, which is extremely, it's an austerity for a lady. Don't know if you know, ladies are wanting to show their emotions by dressing and ornamenting. So these ladies didn't feel it's an austerity because they feel sad. Our queen has no child. But when Krishna came, they all dressed wonderfully. All came out in their dress and they sang a song. O Prince of Braj, O young child, please protect us for a long time. I think it's a nice birthday song. They sang, give us all auspiciousness. We desire to see your smiling face at all times. Fortunate persons will see you playing with the cows while the demons are killed by your strength. You always give special
results to your devotees. This is a song, birthday song, which they sing. But this is now Vrindavan. Vrindavan means Brijbasis, and Brijbasis means full of life and joy. They all began to take yogurt, colored it with kurkuma, and they began to splash each other in the face, and they laughed, and they danced, and they had holy syringes going. It's described on that day, on that morning, there was so much joy in Braj that all the lanes of Braj were dripping with milk and yogurt, which the Brijbasis threw on top of each other. Afterwards, they all took their bath in the Jamuna. I want to end now. From the day where Krishna took his birth, the ocean of Braj daily increased in wealth and astonishment. Shukadev Goswami says that the goddess of fortune made her appearance in Braj. You know who's the goddess of fortune in Braj? Do you know everything? Radharani. She appeared a few days later. And not only she. Jiva Goswami says, many excellent gopis took their birth in the family of the cowherd men. And Braj became a pastime place for all these goddesses of fortune. When Nanda Maharaj heard this narration, where he was discussed, he became, again, just by hearing it, he felt as happy as he felt when Krishna was born to him. He called Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta, the two poets who had talked about this, forward, and he took lotus flowers and he offered lotus flowers around their heads. It must have looked beautiful. I imagine you looked like a doctor, has this little thing, you know, and so they had lotus flowers on their head, and he decorated them with his own ornaments, you know, he gave them everything he had on him. Then he said, please go now to the guest rooms, take your meals. Every morning this discussion should be done here. Gather in this way and let us talk, hear about Krishna. So this is the wonderful thing of Krishna Katha. Should be done everywhere, every morning, every evening. We should just hear about Krishna. In the beginning, this is unusual for our mind. We know about other talks and we recognize it and then accommodate it in our brain patterns. Krishna Katha in the beginning is something which is not, we are not used to it. So the emotions, the feelings, they are strange for us who have strange emotions, and other emotions and other feelings. But my dear devotees, I know one of my exalted God brothers, Govinda Maharaj, he would always tell the devotees, you have to hear as a service. Even though at the beginning you fall asleep and your mind goes somewhere and you just can't relate to what you hear, and can't we hear now about some good fight or something, you know. You should just give your, it's called submissive oral reception, or just hear in a submissive mind. And if you do this for some time, it took me a few years, you know, you will get very great benefit in your spiritual life. It's really like a sadhana, a spiritual practice, which you should do regularly, and therefore some good information has been given. I wanted to also say before I want to now stop and see if you have any questions, and then I will give you a present. Krishna. Yes, why did not? Very good question. See, here we will enter now some of the mysteries of Krishna's appearance. And I really request you now to try, I will try to speak about something which is very difficult, and I don't know if it will make sense for you. But there are different layers in Krishna's pastimes. And there is deeper and deeper and deeper. And what is true on one layer is no longer on another layer. All I know is from this verse which we read today, that the Bhagavatam says, Nanda Maharaj performed the Jatakama ceremony. That is a ceremony which involves also cutting the cord. So from this information, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur proves the umbilical cord was there in Vrindavan. It was there because if it, you know, otherwise the ceremony could not have been done. And he wants to prove that Krishna is not the son of Devaki in Mathura. It was a Vasudev Krishna form. There was no umbilical cord in Mathura because he didn't appear there as that sweet Vrindavan Krishna who does human like pastimes, but he appeared in Devaki, in Nanda Maharaj's prison with a crown and a club. You know, how will this go through the birth channel, you know? And very big and tall, you know. So there was no umbilical cord in Mathura. But to give special pleasure to those who were in the sweetest and highest form of Vatsalya Bhav, you know, that is Nanda and Yashoda, he appeared with an umbilical cord in Vrindavan. Now, Jiva Goswami says, when the nurse wanted to do her work and cutting it, she saw there was nothing there. So, Prabhupada says in his purpose, either it was there and then maybe it disappeared, you know, or and only it was there for Yashoda, but for the nurse, she said, it's only a lotus, not the stem. Yeah. Yes. Madhavanana, I will just give you so that everyone can hear.
The Brahma Vivarta Purana also says that they cut the umbilical cord of Krishna in Braj, not in Mathura.
You heard him. Oh my God, he is a Pandit. Brahma Vivarta Purana, I will say it again, also said that they cut the umbilical cord of Krishna in Vrindavan, not in Mathura. Thank you for this wonderful question. See, this is what it means in Krishna Katha. You think about it and you bring your mind there. You don't have your mind in the world any longer with your worldly subject. Now, this is an interesting question. It needs to be discussed, you know. Our Vaidyanath is giving us an example how to listen to Krishna Katha. We should just... See, my dear devotees, here's now an important point. How was Krishna consciousness transported throughout the thousands of years? There were, in that sense, not one big organization who did this. there were sadhus who read from the scriptures in villages. They read from the Bhagavatam. And I just heard out, the minimum instrument was a mridanga during that time. What we have now, some flute music, just to help us, you know, bring our mind there. They would read from the Bhagavatam and they would discuss. They would sing. There were lila dramas, like we will see this afternoon. It's very important that we all gather. That a time is, I believe, new time, anyone knows? 6:15 here in the temple room. There were dances about Krishna. And in this way, by soft institution, that means spiritual narrations and spiritual dramas and talk, the Krishna consciousness became transported in the hearts of people, that even big Muslim invasions and different things did not bring Krishna away out of the heart. I feel it is very important in our time to revive these soft institutional ways, you know, where devotees are sitting and chanting for long times, where they're hearing to Krishna Katha, and then it will be situated in the heart, and no difficulty, outside difficulty, whatever you go in through life, not even if you're imprisoned in the Muslim prison. I mean, we don't want to make any religious polemic, you know, and nothing can disturb you. This is the history of spiritual India. This is why it is so vibrating, because it's because of this Krishna Katha, where there were katakars, there are schools where you're trained how to present the subject. There are lila dramas all over, you know, and the songs and so on. And this all gets to the human soul, and then it is implanted. It's not implanted by giving different rules of behavior or organizing something. We need organization to preach. There is no doubt about it. But for Krishna consciousness to appear in our heart, we need to hear about Krishna. It's so important. We need to watch plays of Krishna. We need to read the literature about Krishna's personal form, his qualities, his leelas. Otherwise, nothing will happen here. It will remain a desert and you will suffer. Yes, dryness, big problem. Good. Now time, we will have one last question for Mandaleshwari. I will repeat the question. We are encouraged to hear Krishna Katha, and we are also informed we need to hear from the right sources. If it is not coming from the right sources, that means those who have love for Krishna, the danger is that we will hear wrong things, and it will not act at that in that medicinal way. You know, we heard it's like a medicine which mantras and jewels, but it can even have poisonous effect that we hear. Yeah, it's the right source, to hear it from the right source. That is a discussion which has been going on in our movement for a long time. Some feel that only a very realized and pure devotee can be, who has love of Krishna, can do Krishna Katha and therefore some have attacked our movement and say, show me those good examples and then I will listen to you. No? This has been done in the ongoing Gaudiya war, you know. I have pure devotee. No, my pure devotee is there. This is... see, when it says Krishna Katha can have dangerous effects, an example is given to us. Milk is good, but when a snake touches it, then in addition to the milk, there comes poison. So Krishna Katha is good, but when someone mixes something to it which doesn't belong there, material concept, jnana, karma, not pure bhakti, then you get the wrong understanding. So someone who is faithful to the line, who tries to explain Krishna Katha like it is done from the pure devotees, who just like presents it like the Bhagavatam presents it, or Gopal Champu, and so on, his Katha, because he's just the messenger, the transporter, can have wonderful effects as well, as long as he doesn't bring something additional, some impurity into it. That is the stand which we who are disciples of Prabhupada have, it has been seen like this. Another thing which I would like to hear about, say about hearing from a proper force, is something which I constantly experience. I put on a tape of Prabhupada, or nowadays we have to push some computer button. This recorded messages, and one devotee told me just recently she had made that experience of she did not feel physically very good. She was very exhausted and very, you know, exhausted, and put on a recording of Srila Prabhupada, and she felt she had been given a new life. So I would like to mention these two things, and also I also want to say to the devotees, if you want to hear Krishna Katha, read it in the right sources, you know, and hear it, and after some time you will relish it. But the best way to relish Krishna Katha is really to come into such assemblies as this one and listen there. Therefore, in Buljam Prabhu and Giriraj Maharaj has joined us also now, we do this Govardhan retreats, and we want to transform it more and more in just pure Krishna Katha. That's what the shapers of this retreat are have in mind, because this medicine is best available, you know, in the assembly of devotees at the feet of Giriraj, you know, with the breezes of Braj coming all over you, the dust, you know, coming in your lungs and so on. You start coughing. Yes, the point is here, I have to abide by the Jamashtami program. I really have promised to be a good boy and stop in time. We can. But maybe on Krishna Katha you have want to say something brief, Madhavananda, or it's a little longer. Madhavananda has a wants to talk on this subject, and I encourage you, in the afternoon, Madhavananda has a katha where Krishna is tested. It's a super, super wonderful katha from the spiritual world. We must attend this. When is that? We have everything here. 1:30 to 3. I encourage you, really, make a thorough investigation of the Jamashtami program. Maybe, Gaurahari, you can just give us a few highlights. And there are such good things coming up this year. You certainly wouldn't like to miss any of the nectar. So I have to stop here. I want to say one thing. We are publishing at the moment an excellent article. It comes in 3 versions called The Mystery of Krishna's Birth. It's very interesting. It is written by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, which is really good. I mean, it's really good. It's not a little good or not good. It's really good. And if you wish to find that article, it's a little bit an insider article. I don't know. Is it on? It will be on my web page. I have a web page. Believe it or not, And you can download it and read it. It's really good. I mean, if you really want to understand the mystery of Krishna's janma and karma, you must read this and go back to Godhead. Krishna promises in the Gita, you just need to understand the mystery of my birth and so on. It's not so easy. God, you know, God is God, you know. But if you wish to understand, this article is there. You will find it also in Giriraj Maharaj's excellently written book, Watering the Plant. It's in the last section, Krishna and His Devotees. It is taken from there. So I really need to control my tongue, which wants to continue. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Krishna Jamashtami Mahotsava ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari 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 Bo.